You're listening to Wondering Jews with Josh and Roy. I'm Roy.
And I'm Josh.
This is the podcast where Josh and I spark up a bowl, dive into what it means to be Jewish in today's day and age.
Today, we're going to get ripped from the headlines. We're going to do our Torah portion of the week, which is called Toldot.
Toldot.
Sure.
Sure.
And then we'll do the 613 of the week, backed by popular demand, and then have a little Thanksgiving wrap-up. But before we do any of that, there's a little bit of housekeeping that we need to take care of. If you want to leave a message for us, comment on the show, have ideas, strains that you want us to smoke, give us a call. The phone number, 503-847-9769.
The Wondering Jews hotline.
And always find us on Twitter, at Jews Wondering. We post a lot of great content there.
It's true. We do. So what is the strain that we are going to be imbibing today?
Well, today I went to my local dispensary and I picked up some Blue Steel. Let me open it up here and let's get a little smell.
Blue Steel was, I'm pretty sure, the name of the look that Ben Stiller gives in Zoolander.
It is called the Blue Steel look.
How does Blue Steel smell?
It smells quite good. It has a lot of crystals. It's pretty dense. Let me take a look.
It's a dense little nug, that is for sure. Wow, those are very tight and very white, hairy nugs.
So let me tell you a little bit about Blue Steel. Blue Steel is an indica-dominant strain with a fruit-forward flavors.
Oh.
The flavors and aroma are thick with the scent of blueberries, and the nugs are smothered in a layer of frosty.
I noticed this.
Enjoy this strain throughout the day to boost your mood, appetite, while promoting a creative headspace.
Well, indica dominant doesn't tell me creative headspace. It tells me creative couch space. All right, we're going to spark up this bowl, and we'll be right back. That second bowl really was a bad idea. We really should have waited.
We should have. We should have a rule that we don't do the second bowl.
What is wrong with us?
What happens is that we are just so excited to get high.
Yes. That even, I know.
That's the problem.
All right.
Okay. So Roy, high are you?
Blue Steel can't turn left. You get that? You get that Zoolander reference?
Now that you said Zoolander, I understand it.
I realized I probably had to drop an anvil on that one. I didn't think I could be too subtle. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How high are you? Good. That's my answer. Yeah, Blue Steel, this is performing satisfactorily. How about for you?
I feel very stable and grounded to where I am, but I also feel very agile.
Yeah, it's a much headier indica than I've ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, physically I'm very relaxed, which is nice. But there's a lot of cerebral activity going on.
Yeah.
Which is uncommon in my experience with a lot of indicas. Thoughts?
I was going to get us to the next thing. I don't know. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's talk about some headlines, man.
Ripped.
From the headlines.
The first headline that we have today, Roy, is from abcactionnews.com. Houston, we have dessert. An oven and some cookie dough were sent to space. In this story, astronauts on board the International Space Station are going to be getting an oven and some cookie dough shipped to them so that they can make cookies in space.
Fresh baked cookies in the space station, because the smell of home-baked cookies has a psychological benefit. And so they felt like it would be good for morale aboard the space station to have that smell of home-baked cookies. And the recipe and the cookie dough comes from Doubletree Hotel. For real. Like, if I was Doubletree right now, I would just be doing a big old fucking Enzo dance.
Don't you think, though, if you were an astronaut, you just want to be at home? The last thing you want, hotel cookies. That's the opposite of being at home.
And they're also going to send them, a USA Today.
We had two choices. Either your wife could have made cookies for you, or you could get them from the Doubletree. Let's do the Doubletree.
But we invented the zero gravity oven for you. Wrong focus, guys. Just bring me home.
The company that makes the oven, it's called a Zero G oven from Zero G Kitchens. Do you think this means that they're very serious about sort of permanent residency? Because you do need an oven.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is all part of that eventual move into space. I mean, it's going to happen.
If you were diagramming out the plan to get people to live in space, do you know what a Gantt chart is?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay. So I want you to imagine where on the Gantt chart it was develop the oven. Because I don't feel like we're there yet. I feel like there's so many pieces of the Gantt chart that we haven't figured out.
Right.
We don't need to worry about the oven, guys.
Right. We don't have a house. Where am I going to put the oven?
Exactly.
Like, but we figured out how to make the oven. This is why we need a centralized effort, people. Because somebody's been off working on an oven. No. We don't need an oven yet. I do think that this opens up the possibility for hotboxing space stations because now they have cookies. We need to send them weed. Somebody should put weed on a rocket and launch it to the International Space Station, and they should hotbox one of the chambers and then eat cookies in there. You're welcome.
I'm so glad that abcactionnews.com was there to cover this important headline.
Thanks, local journalism.
Our next headline comes from theforward.com. This Toro was dropped off at a Virginia thrift store. Can you help us find where it came from? So this is a story about a Toro that was left at a Goodwill, and they tried to sell it, but they couldn't because it was next to the keyboards or something.
Toro scrolls are very valuable.
Yeah, so Toro scrolls cost, it said, like $13,000 used, $25,000 new.
At least.
This is a Toro that was dropped off by someone in some sort of robe. And they don't know who it is.
Suspicious.
And then it was sold from this guy who was like just trying to flip it and took it to all these temples like, hey, I got a Toro for you. And then none of them would take it. And so then he returned it to get his money back. And then they're like, someone at the store, a different store, because he returned it to a different store, was like, oh, we should send this to like goodwill.com because people actually want this. And so they did it, and then they kind of got in a little bit of trouble because why is Goodwill selling Toros on the internet? So it just really tells the story, and right now the Toro is being held at some synagogue nearby, and no one knows anything about it. Well, on the cover of the Toro, there is like the name of some sort of city in Ukraine, which is right outside Kyiv or Kiev. So there could be some Ukrainian actors involved in the story that we may not know about.
Vault.
And it was found, you know, relatively close to Delaware and Mr. Biden.
Where the hell did that thing start? And how old is it? It sounds almost cursed.
You know what, though? If I was a Toro, you know, this doesn't sound that bad. Like,
if I was a Toro.
Because I'm sure this Toro is very old, and so it was probably used as a regular Toro for some time. It's been rolled around a little bit, and now it wanted an adventure. You know, that's not a bad thing for a Toro.
It's true. It's interesting that none of the synagogues would buy it.
Well, honestly, like,
how did you get that?
If I was the rabbi and the secretary, there's a man here trying to sell you a Toro, I'd be like, I'm at lunch. Don't, you know, don't send him back. Right. I don't want to be cold called for Toro sales.
Right. Hold on. I still haven't paid off the encyclopedias I bought last time. Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought this one to the table this week.
Yeah.
What a wacky story, and props to Forward for covering it.
And the last story that I have for you today is from the Huffington Post. I think it's now just called Huff Post.
Now. It's like been like 10 years.
The story is called Man Sticks Cannabis in His Nose, Forgets About It for 18 Years. So this is a story about
the dumbest reality. I know we all feel it every day, but this day is a real doozy.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the story, and then you're going to tell me what country this took place in. So a man who, after 18 years, they found a piece of marijuana in his nose, and he realized he remembered that 18 years ago, when he was going to prison, a girlfriend of his gave him some marijuana in a balloon, and he snorted it in his nose, and he thought he had swallowed it, and it just sat there.
In his sinuses, up in his under the bridge of his nose, basically.
Yeah.
What a dumbass.
I just think it's so silly because if I was going to sneak drugs into prison,
yeah,
I wouldn't bring marijuana in a balloon. It's not very practical. You can't really trade for it.
Right.
Pills make the most sense to bring because you could trade them. You could take them. They're relatively small.
It's fun to have a story in here about weed that is really not about weed. It's about the idiot. So what country did this take place in? My guess is Australia.
You are correct.
Is it really Australia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stereotypes are true.
I mean, it could have been a lot of places, but I could totally believe it in Australia.
The best part about this story to me is that the story is based on a medical journal article from BMJ Case Reports. They even got to have fun with their title of their peer-reviewed article.
Oh, I love it when scientists have wacky titles. What did they call it?
A nose out of joint.
A nose out of joint. Very funny, guys. That's a good one. Good to, you know, laugh at others' misfortune, I guess is what I'm saying. Some schadenfreude.
Well, let's take a little stretch break, maybe do a puff break, and when we come back...
It's our Torah portion of the week, Toledot. The Torah portion of the week. This is a doozy this week.
Yeah, it's Toledot, and it's one that I actually kind of remember parts of it from Sunday school. If you weren't paying attention in Sunday school, you probably know this one.
Yeah, this is the story of Jacob and Esau.
In this Torah portion, Rebecca, who is Isaac's wife, she has twins, and she's quite old, and their names are Esau and Jacob. Esau gives Jacob his birthright in exchange for some stew, and later, King Abimelech is led to think that Rebecca is Isaac's sister, and later find out that she's actually his wife. And after that, Isaac plans to bless Esau, his firstborn, Rebecca, his wife, and Jacob deceive Isaac so that Jacob receives the blessing instead. And then finally, Esau threatens to kill Jacob, his own brother, then flees to Haran. So what did you think of this Torah portion?
This is like some wild shit. This is the Isaac's story. This is the same Isaac, by the way, that like Abraham almost sacrificed, and then like they just like all walked back home together. Remember how I said like Isaac was going to get the fuck out of there and be like, fuck you, Dad, I'm not going back there?
Yeah.
So he fucked off, and he provoked God to have these twins. And God tells Rebecca, like, you have two nations in your belly, and they are basically going to be at war with each other. And there was going to be a mighty one and a weaker one, and the mighty one is going to serve the weaker one. And they're born fighting.
Jacob, who comes out second, is, like, holding on to his brother.
By the heel.
By the heel, right.
And that's where the name Jacob comes from. It came, Yaakov is the Hebrew name for Jacob, and that comes from the word ekev, which is the heel.
And it basically says that Esau is, like, he's like the muscular, what's his name, Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth?
Thor?
Yeah, Thor.
Yeah.
Like, I've pictured him sort of as Thor. But then I kind of feel like Jacob, who is positioned as the weaker brother, the second one, kind of like a young Rick Moranis.
Yes. Well, this is maybe like a Patrick Swayze, Rick Moranis kind of pairing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I could see that. But like, like Patrick Swayze, the darker side of Patrick Swayze, like more Roadhouse. This is a wild... wild story.
So let's start at the beginning. Esau, who's the manly one, right, Chris?
You're using a very narrow definition of manly right okay. now, but we'll unpack that later.
He comes home after this big hunt and is starving and says to his brother, hey, bro, give me some of that stew that you're making. And you know what this little bitch Jacob does?
Give me your birthright.
Give me your birthright. Like, that is crazy.
But it's such a younger sibling thing to say. I understand the desire to be like, oh, I'm so starving. Give me some of your food. And you're like, fucking give me your birthright. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm sorry you're hungry. But also Esau, it's hard
to
be sympathetic because he's like, were you so starving you were going to die? Or you're just like, fine, you can have my birthright. Just give me some stew, like an older brother would say. I mean, there's the sibling dynamics of the family dynamics. And then remember how like Abraham was traveling with Sarah and he said, this is my sister, not my wife. This is exactly what Isaac does.
Yeah.
He's like, I learned it by watching you, Dad. He uses the same fucking line.
Yeah.
He's approached and he's like, oh, Rebecca, yeah, she's my sister.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's like when they remade Star Wars. It's sort of like cut for cut. It's the same kind of
it's
shit.
It's cut for cut the same shit.
So let's get into the meat of the portion where Isaac plans to bless his older son, Esau, and Rebecca hears it and basically tells her favorite son, hey, as soon as this guy leaves to go get the food and then bring it back and then the father's going to bless him, you're going to go in there and we're going to fake this thing. We're going to sort of do in Mission Impossible where they have the masks on.
Right. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and she's got the goat fur on his arms and she even like covers him in like basically like an oil, a simulation that smells like how his brother would have smelled in the fields.
Because we should also make clear that at this point, Isaac is quite old and can't see very well. And so there's a little bit of like...
There's definitely some taking advantage of the disabled right there in that part of this.
So you were saying you thought that it's really interesting thinking about the mother and sort of all the tricks that she's pulling in this parsha.
Yeah, I mean, she's manipulating this whole dynamic. I guess one would have to wonder, like, when Rebecca was made pregnant late in life and arguably attributed it to God's intervention, with that receive the direction that she was to favor Jacob, like, from the get-go? Or was it just like, he's my youngest and he's my baby and I love him the most?
Well, you can't really fault her because, like you said, like, if God tells her, hey, the younger one's going to rule the older one, like, that's where I would put my cards
on. You're like, I'm 100 and I just got pregnant, so I guess I'll go ahead and listen.
Exactly.
It is a crazy story. And so then Jacob does what his father did, which is like, get out of Dodge.
Yeah. They both bounce, both brothers.
Both brothers bounce.
Yeah.
That's right. And both actually have prosperous lives in their own separate ways. And then they come back for the blessing when Isaac is about to die. That's when he gives Jacob the blessing. But then he gives Esau a blessing as well.
He does. He does give Esau a blessing.
He gives Esau a significant blessing.
Yeah, it sounded great.
The whole notion that Isaac, like this forefather, this like direct descendant of Abraham, would only have one blessing on him. Like, that's all you're capable of?
Yeah.
You've all this like divine energy channeled into you, and you're like, I can give you just one blessing. That's it. Yeah, it's a nuts portion.
When you're at temple this weekend, hearing this, what's your takeaway gonna be?
All families are complicated.
I'm feeling the same thing. Families are fucking weird, man.
Yeah. Families are very hard things. Everybody knows everybody's cards. Yeah, how the fuck are you supposed to play poker when everybody knows everybody else's cards?
That's the craziest thing about getting married is that you inherit another family.
Another deck.
Yeah, you get two decks. It's crazy.
That's right. And then you have to play with two decks.
Yeah.
And some people are not playing with any decks. I mean, it's fitting going into Thanksgiving.
So this is the one Thanksgiving when you can go home to your family and say to your brother, give me your birthright.
Give me your birthright.
You know, if he wants that last piece of turkey, give me your birthright.
Give me your birthright.
And if he takes offense, just say, oh, no, that's the Torah portion this weekend. Don't worry about it.
Well, some good wisdom from the Parsha this week.
I do think that this blue steel did its job, opened our mind creatively for this discussion. But I do feel like it's my levels are starting to recede a little bit. So I think it's time to reload. And when we come back, it's time for the 613 of the week.
You sort of rolled up on the mic, like snarling.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to pounce.
You know, it's game time.
It is. How's the blue steel treating you?
It feels pretty good. It feels like I'm still stable. But I'm also kind of feel like I'm driving somewhere.
Interesting. Because you are not. In fact, if anyone looking at you right now, they would notice a lack of movement. But I see what you mean, though.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling like we are consistently finding new and wonderful strains here in Oregon Wonderland.
Let's get into our 613 of the week.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey!
So for those who might not be familiar with it, our 613 of the week is where we go through and we pick one of the 613 different commandments in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Torah. You don't have to do them all. Some are positive, some of them are negative, as in do this or don't do that. And we randomly select it and then unpack it.
And it's important to know that we don't know which one we're going to pick. And so
we
it will be
really
the first
don't.
Time. We will be learning alongside with you. So let's see what the random number generator gives us today. 334. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 17.
Okay.
Speak unto Aaron, saying, whoever he be thy seed throughout their generations that hath a blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. And according to Maimonides' list, the commandment is a Kohen with a temporary blemish must not serve. So what that is saying is a priest cannot serve as a priest if he has a blemish.
Like, what's a blemish? Like a pimple?
I
like
don't know.
Like a rash from the syphilis?
That's possible.
Or, like, what counts as a blemish? And it says a temporary blemish, not a permanent blemish.
So you just have to be, like, a perfect 10 to get into that temple.
Yeah, you know, the whole, like, Kohanim thing is very complicated because I have real issues with, like, the development of a priesthood. It wasn't Aaron that was talking to God, it was Moses.
Uh-huh.
And then Moses told Aaron, you're going to have to set up some rules because I can't just be intervening in everybody's problems all the time. And everybody was coming to him with their problems. And he was having to, like, adjudicate all of these disputes. And he's like, this is ridiculous. We need, like, a set of, like, judges and courts and priests and, like, we need an infrastructure, basically. So they created this, like, priesthood. But then as soon as the priesthood's created, there's, like, all these rules.
Yeah, but God is giving the rules to Moses. I mean, this is a rule from God.
From God to Moses to Aaron.
So God is down with the priesthood, is all I'm saying. If he's given them the rules, or she, God is tacitly giving their approval of the system that was created, you know, and you have to have rules, especially when you're on a journey. Like, you have to remember that these people were caravanning, right?
This is true.
So you were on a ship. Like, right. Imagine being on a battleship without the chain of command.
Wow. Very, very fair point. Surprised, everyone? I am.
But I do think it's interesting that even a temporary blemish screws up one of these guys.
So basically just like the purest of the pure.
Right, you had to be pure. Even if a pure person... what it's really saying is that even a pure person, they can't go in because they're not pure, you know, in that moment.
Right. Even a pure person as one of these priests is susceptible to a temporary blemish.
Right.
Like, shit happens.
Yeah.
Even to the best people.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the commandment here?
The commandment, I mean, I actually get behind this commandment.
Okay.
Which is, if you're going to have a priest, and he has a blemish, or she...
can't serve.
They can't do it. I want my priest perfection. If we're going to do it, let's do it, you know?
Right. I'm going to watch my clergy more closely.
Yeah.
And if I notice any temporary blemishes, I'm going to ask them to step down from the bima. I'm going to be like, excuse me.
But there's probably another rule saying if you have any blemishes, you can't be in there either.
Right. Or you're not allowed to call a priest out directly.
Yeah.
To go through the chain of command. You have to file a complaint to customer service. And then the guy has to go through HR.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever happens.
Thanks, random number generator. That was a number. And that it did a number on us, that's for sure.
It did. It did. Welcome back, 613. When we come back, stoner tips for Thanksgiving.
Would you rather be on like a pirate ship and sort of engage in the battle and sort of see it all unfolding and sort of see it all happen? Or would you rather be in the submarine and just get blown up and have no idea that the missile was launched, it was stealth or whatever, or find out about it with a second, you know, like boop, and then you're dead.
Jeez Louise, that's a really profound question. Cause my instinct is to say submarine, but does that mean I don't have belief in my own pirating skills?
Right. I mean, in the other scenario, someone survives.
Yeah. Like, why do I assume I'm the one getting killed?
Right.
Why can't I assume I'm the really competent pirate?
Yeah.
Who's like leading the charge and like going to kill those nasty Navy soldiers, sailors.
We need to think that we are the badass pirates and that we are going to
survive.
We need
to think we're Esau and we're Jacob.
Yeah. We need to think that we're badass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tying it together, I like it.
Hey, man, in a bow. This blue steel, it's very strong.
It is a strong strain. In the review, it did mention the munchies, which makes me think about our next topic, which is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
There's so many different things to talk about as we get ready for the holiday season. As Jews, thinking about all the Christmas stuff that's just around the corner. As gluttonous people, the consumerism.
Right, the products of American consumerism. You know that like Thanksgiving sales and stuff now start like on Thanksgiving evening? They finally broke that wall like recently
right,
in the past
like
couple 6
years. 6 p.m. or something or 4 p.m.
I thought that boundary was safe and it really got just kind of mowed right over.
I never have been shopping on on Thanksgiving evening or even on Black Friday. Even I don't think I've ever really been shopping.
No,
but you know, people are into it. At least according to the YouTube videos I watch of people getting like run over by other folks.
All to like meet the pressure of having to give all of these nice presents to all of these people. How long do you really extract joy from that present?
Just opening it, I guess.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's just something you have.
Yeah, then I have to put it somewhere. What am I supposed to do with this?
I hope you give me a closet. Yeah, so speaking of stoned, do you ever like do the getting lit at Thanksgiving dinner thing? And how often and when did you start?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Thanksgiving is the perfect holiday to be high on because it lasts for a long time. You don't have to do anything. You have to talk to your relatives who are probably more interesting when you're stoned, and tons of food, and you just have to hang out. Like, it's the perfect holiday to get high.
Maybe this is the year that people will just, like, bring edibles and joints to their Thanksgiving parties and will share them with their families, hoping that they will all get high together and they will actually have a nice time.
I think that this weed, which the name is escaping me.
I think it's Blue Steel.
Yeah, Blue Steel, I think, came through for us, helped us unpack a lot of Judaism. We definitely packed a lot of Blue Steel.
We did. I hope you enjoy this episode. Remember, if you have an idea, a funny story that you want us to share on air, feedback for us that you definitely don't want us to share on air, 503-847-9769. Leave us a voicemail.
Or send us a message on Twitter. We're at Jews Wondering. Subscribe to the podcast and tell all your family member about this podcast. This is a podcast the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah, put us on in the kitchen while you're making stuff for Thanksgiving. Just put us on in the background. Shout out to our peeps and the gnomes.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.